Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs podcast. I'm Braden Holacek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage, Chiefs of FullPressCoverage.com. And we are here, believe it or not, coming to you on a Saturday, one day removed from our latest podcast episode. And we have to take a break to talk about the NFL draft, to now talk about a major trade acquisition that the Kansas City Chiefs have made on Friday, and that was acquiring offensive tackle Orlando Brown Jr. A lot to unpack here in this emergency podcast episode with our quick reactions to the trade. Going to talk about, obviously, the trade compensation, what that means for both the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens, how the draft is going to now be affected here going into next week, especially for Kansas City. And really just what this means right now for Kansas City's outlook as a team, as an offense, and what the offensive line is truly kind of shaping up to be right now. But when the trade news dropped this afternoon, I mean, I think at first I was truly shocked. And something we'll kind of talk about here down the line in this podcast episode is that there are a couple of things that I'll mention that maybe you would think I'm not as shocked about, just because stuff we heard Brett Veach say in his press conference today. Literally, he was in a press conference kind of talking about the NFL draft and some other questions 30 to 40 minutes before this trade news broke. So he already probably knew, of course, you know, what was in store, but we did not know anything different really than what he said in the past, as far as just what his usual kind of tendencies are talking about the NFL draft and other certain topics like that. But I think the biggest reason that I was truly shocked was the Baltimore Ravens trade a dominant young offensive tackle who is one of the best in the league at his position to a team that not only has consistently beat them, but a team that is one of the top currently keeping them from making it or winning the Super Bowl. So I was truly shocked, because we talked all offseason. I mean, if the Chiefs were in the NFC West and not the AFC West, this trade maybe made a lot more sense. But to see Baltimore help out their top adversary by trading a guy that, you know, gives the Chiefs, they basically go from having no left tackle on the roster, essentially, to now having a franchise cornerstone left tackle, assuming he can be here for the long haul, in Kansas City, in Orlando Brown Jr. So I was truly flabbergasted, shocked, astounded, whatever word you want to throw out there. That was my initial reaction to this. I just cannot believe the Baltimore Ravens made this trade. And of course, as we'll talk about later on in the draft, they've been a good team in the draft. They've always been really smart and candid with their picks. A lot of good players have generally fell into their laps in the past, but man, this team, even I think with gaining as much trade compensation as they did, you essentially did not, I don't think, gained as much premium picks as maybe what some people honestly truly realize or look at in terms of premium picks. But yeah, I was truly shocked to a team that has consistently beat them, and obviously a team that has you know, helped in hindering them from making it to the Super Bowl here in recent history. I just could not believe that. But some other quick thoughts, and we'll kind of dive into some more a few more sentences here when I throw these next thoughts out there. But obviously, I think this is also a major upgrade, of course, at left tackle for the Chiefs over what they had with Eric Fisher. Now, Eric Fisher played some tremendous football the last handful of seasons, but especially the last two or three. Don't get me wrong, Fisher was a great player, but I think stylistically, this makes, I think, a lot more sense right now for where the Kansas City Chiefs are at in trying to protect Patrick Mahomes' blindside. I think people always think of Orlando Brown having that quote-unquote horrible combine, testing in Indy the year he came out for the draft in 2018. The 40 time was the thing that a lot of people focused on, but of course, as an offensive lineman, we know you're not going to run 4-4, right? But that was blown out of proportion. Brown fell to the third round, and the Ravens, you know, benefited from that, obviously, really tremendously. And, you know, it's just crazy to look back on that combine. And yeah, he's not going to be the most quick or athletic offensive tackle or lineman out there, but I think for his size, he's got rare athleticism and quickness, especially when you talk about it in terms of his pass sets, quick sets, vertical sets. The Baltimore Ravens did not ask him to do that a lot, looking through his, you know, just some snippets of his tape over the last couple of years. But he did do that at Oklahoma in college. And that's, I think, what is going to be, honestly, most of what we'll see asked of him in a Kansas City offense that obviously chucks the ball into the air at a high rate, you know. So I think that is that's going to be obviously one of the reasons why I think it's a major upgrade over Eric Fisher. And again, I think, like I said, you combine that with the length that he has, you know, it's just really rare to see, right, an offensive tackle have those all mix in together. The length, the athleticism, and quickness, you know, given his size, that is certainly an upgrade for the Chiefs. And something that won't be talked about as much just because the Chiefs are not obviously thought of as a rushing offense, but Orlando Brown Jr. is a tremendous, tremendous run blocker. You know, very mean and nasty, quick transitions going from one guy to the other. So, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if you're a fantasy owner, I'm not always, you know, the greatest guy to ask for fantasy advice, but from what, you know, I am seeing right now at Kansas City, I would buy all the stock that you can right now in Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because this left side of the offensive line now, for what is currently projected in Kansas City, Orlando Brown Jr. and Joe Tooney is probably the best left side pairing that the team has had in what, over a decade at least, or, you know, maybe even nearly two decades. So that's something that I think, you know, the run blocking ability, it's not going to be talked about as much with Orlando Brown Jr. given how the Chiefs offense usually operates, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire going into his sophomore campaign in Kansas City in 2021, I can tell you there's probably going to be a lot of run attempts now going to that left side for sure. Some other things that I had, my quick reaction thoughts that I tweeted out, you know, right after this trade happened was, you know, going into the draft a little bit, I think it just became more clear, right? As the last few weeks have went on, it just did not feel like the Chiefs were going to be in range to land a plug-and-play starter at left tackle at 31. And some people may think I'm looking through the Chiefs' rose-colored glasses here by saying this next sentence. But honestly, I think 31, it's not even truly, you know, always getting first-round value at that pick. I mean, you can say what you want, you know, if I was, you know, saying that for a team like, you know, Buffalo or Green Bay, who's close to that spot, maybe I wouldn't be saying the same thing because of the upgrades and the needs for that team right now. But I think with where Kansas City's at right now, yeah, they have more holes, I think, going into 2021 than they've had the last couple of years, but going out and getting a guy like Orlando Brown Jr., I just don't think you were going to be able to truly have that at your disposal and find that in the first round of the draft if you sit at 31 overall. I know a lot of fans like Tevin Jenkins, myself included. I do not personally think he's getting by the Dolphins at 18 overall. If he does, I don't think it would be past 20 or 21 to the Bears or Colts respectively. So I think if you cannot get a guy obviously like a Tevin Jenkins, you know, or somebody kind of in that same range of the offensive tackles, and I think there could be a deep run on them, you know, from, like we said, 18 all the way to maybe what, 22, 23, 24, especially with Pittsburgh. I think when you look at it, unless they were going to trade up and get a guy, okay, but again, you're taking a chance on, even if you trade up, trading up picks to go get a guy that is unproven as a rookie, where now you traded picks that, again, you're getting a guy that has been dominant and absolutely, you know, absolutely scary for some defenders to go up against up front now that has been proven for a commodity with the Ravens. So I think that makes a lot of sense. And honestly, going back to Brett Veach's press conference right before this trade was announced, he kind of mentioned that, you know, he kind of even hinted at, you know, they did not really like possibly the options there. So I think that was where, you know, even some people were starting to question then, okay, is a trade going to happen? Are they going to trade out of the first round? Are they going to try to sign a veteran tackle or trade for a name? Maybe not an Orlando Brown Jr. as it turned out, but somebody else. And then a little later on, Brett Veach kind of said, you know, he thinks the hot zone, I think is how he put it in this draft, is kind of the second round, mid to late second round, early third. And now you look at after this trade with the Ravens, unbelievable that they still get a second round pick for this year back in return from Baltimore at 58 overall. You now have picks at 58 and 63 right in there where Veach believes the hot zone is. And obviously now you fill what was the top need for your team at left tackle and offensive tackle. Yeah, there's still needs on this team, but there's no, to me, primary needs. They're all secondary needs right now with edge rusher, wide receiver, cornerback. And those, I think, are going to be some spots where the board will kind of fall for them, I think, really well, possibly, to go maybe best player available, but still hit on possibly those spots. Even linebacker. And linebacker, I've been back and forth on, you know, saying if the Chiefs are going to add one in the draft this year. I kind of thought, you know, during the season, late in the season, they maybe would. Then I kind of went through a stretch. I don't think they would add a linebacker early. We'll see what happens now. But I think you could truly go best player available, focusing possibly on those spots. And I just think when you look at, you know, going back to earlier of the Chiefs not maybe having an option that was going to be a plug and play guy at tackle at 31, this draft class is so offense top heavy. I think there's a lot of people that believe if we see a defensive player picked in the top 10, it may only be one player, maybe two at best. I think there's a chance we could only see possibly 13 to 15 defensive players drafted out of the 32 picks in the first round. And that's pretty significant because that would be, you know, looking back on the drafts in the last 20 years since 2000, 13, I believe, was the lowest for defensive players taken in the first round. And that happened twice back in 2004 and 2009. So just in the last decade, there's been a couple of years where there was 14 defensive players drafted. I think we could see that possibly again. So again, that adds into it. And again, I think with teams probably waiting for edge, corner, wide receiver, that's going to obviously help the Chiefs depending on, you know, if they sit in those two spots, 58 and 63, or if they try to maneuver on the draft board a little bit in the order still as well. Other quick thought that I had, again, you know, this goes back to the draft pick and the compensation for this. So again, the compensation, I guess I haven't truly said yet on this podcast, but you know, if you've seen the trade, you've seen it by now, but essentially it's Chiefs are getting Orlando Brown Jr. They're getting a second round pick back this year, 58 overall from the Ravens, as well as a sixth rounder in 2022. The Ravens, of course, are getting, let's see, three picks this year with first rounder, 31st overall, third rounder at 94 overall, fourth rounder at 136, and a 2022 fifth round pick. So, you know, I just cannot believe they got a second rounder back. And I know they gave up a lot, right? They gave up a big haul. But I think when you look at it and just kind of like everyone was throwing around after this trade happened, if you look at the trade value chart and how draft pick compensation has kind of been viewed, they essentially only traded a mid to second round pick for Orlando Brown Jr., which to me, I think you do that 10 out of 10 times if you get that chance. I mean, that this was, I think, in the big picture, they really did not give up as much as they really could have. Now, I know the Ravens are getting back Ronnie Stanley at left tackle last year, which Orlando Brown Jr., part of the reason he moved to left tackle last year for Baltimore and really thought he deserved to be playing that spot was because Ronnie Stanley suffered a severe injury middle part of last year, missed the rest of the season, and you know, they're expected to sign former Pittsburgh Steeler Alejandro Villanueva for the right tackle spot if that happens. I don't know if that would really be a big upgrade for Baltimore at the right side, but still, yeah, I know you're getting Stanley back, and I know Ravens fans are going to say, you know, this is a tremendous haul, and they're going to obviously hit on all these picks, right? Hindsight will be 2020, and we'll see, obviously, in the end how this works out. But I think when you are able to get the second-round pick back for this year, that's amazing in and of itself, but again, when you put that trade value and the compensation for the draft draft picks into perspective, for a player like this, again, very young at 24 years old, but so dominant and has rare combination of length, athleticism for his size, and quickness, you do that to me 10 times out of 10, especially when you're in a position where the Chiefs are at right now. They're still in a winning window, 2 years removed from winning the Super Bowl. They've made it at least to the AFC Championship game all 3 years of the Patrick Mahomes era as far as him starting, and of course made it to the Super Bowl last 2 years. So I just think this was a no-brainer, and it goes back to earlier. I cannot believe the Baltimore Ravens traded him to the team that has consistently beaten them in recent years, and again, still gave them that second round pick back in this year's draft. And again, I think, you know, we kind of hit on it earlier, but yeah, I think my last just quick thought that I tweeted out earlier right after this trade happened was, again, to me, this has got to be the best left side of the offensive line that the Chiefs have had now in over a decade with Orlando Brown Jr. and Joe Tooney. So, you know, those were kind of just my quick thoughts, but as we kind of dive into it here, and I know I'm kind of going all over the place in terms of, you know, how this affects the draft, what this means for the Chiefs and Ravens, but going back to Brett Veach's press conference again earlier and just kind of talking, you know, to him about, or not talking to him, but he touched on, you know, drafting for need. He never has really liked to do that. And, you know, some GMs, it's really hard to know and gauge what they're actually meaning. You know, some stuff they say doesn't mean anything. But with Brett Veach in the past, his tendencies have always been, you know, to say what positions he believes are deep in the draft. And he did that again this year. He thinks cornerback is, you know, I believe three rounds deep. And we know this is another good wide receiver class. So I think when you put that into perspective, and again, why this trade makes so much sense, again, like I just said a little bit ago, getting a guy like Orlando Brown Jr., who was probably their best option that they could have got on the market, when you look back at how this entire offseason has unfolded so far, right? You cut both Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz. You just miss out reportedly on Trent Williams, who, you know, again, I know if you eventually extend Orlando Brown Jr., which we'll touch on more in a minute, later on in this episode, I know it'll cost a lot for Orlando Brown Jr., but it'll still probably not be as much, honestly, as you had to pay Trent Williams. So that makes a lot of sense as well. And again, I think you just look at it from the Chiefs' perspective. You go out and fill their biggest need, their primary need, and now you can go out and simply add players that are simply going to be the best they could possibly be for this Chiefs team, and they don't necessarily have to fill a need in year one. So I think that's what's great for the Chiefs now in the draft. I honestly don't know if they'll stick at both spots there in the second round, 58-63. I could see them making one of those spots in those original selections, and then I could see them also trading down a little bit, maybe picking up, you know, say two picks in the top 100 still, maybe picking, say, just hypothetically 58, you know, somewhere in the 80s, and then maybe right around 100, depending on where they can kind of move on the board. And even if you don't get two picks in the top 100, say top 110, 115, and you still have that pick at 144, you know, and you're still making four picks there, you know, from say 58 to 144. I think that's just fine for Kansas City and where they're at right now. And they've had a lot of success really in the past in Brett Veach drafts on getting guys on day three that aren't necessarily always going to blow you away in the headlines, but they find guys that are either going to become blue chip players, as so far we think we have seen with L'Jarius Sneed, or guys that have really come in and done things that they covet at a high level. You look at Rashad Fenton for what he is at cornerback, what they were able to do in getting him as a sixth round pick. Mike Dana, you know, was a little bit of a surprise last year. So I think it'll be okay. And again, just having that ability, I think, to possibly go best player available in most of their spots is going to be great right now. But I do got to touch on the Ravens. And again, I don't want to obviously say they didn't do a good job in what they acquired in this trade. But like I said earlier, I just think when you look at the true trade trade value and draft pick value, I mean, yeah, you love what you can get here, right? Another third round pick in the top 100, a fourth rounder this year as well. which would be 136 overall. Yeah, you have a lot more picks now. You have a lot more chances to go out and add impact players to this team, which this team historically has drafted really, really well. But I think essentially, really, I mean, where Baltimore's at right now, they obviously still have more holes than the Chiefs do. I think receiver, no one truly knows what kind of receiver I think is going to fit best for that offense. I mean, they have some fun guys obviously there with Hollywood Brown, Miles Boykin for what they like to do. But I mean, yeah, you can go out and maybe add a receiver in the first round here now with either 27 or 31, but I think you still have a, you know, an edge rush need or two out there, a now offensive tackle, or at least some couple of spots on the offensive line. So I think when you look at this, and again, especially giving the Chiefs back that second round pick in return, I think in reality, they really only got one premium pick back, given that I think all the needs and holes that they still have relative to where the Chiefs are at currently entering draft week now after getting Orlando Brown Jr. So, you know, I don't know. I think Baltimore, with what they're going to do, I think they're still going to be aggressive. And who knows? They may not sit in those two exact spots in the first round now, 27-31. Maybe they'll use those picks or a combination of other ones to move up in the first round a little bit for their first pick on Thursday night, or they'll move back a little bit into where they think their hot zone or honey hole is. So I just think overall, to me, I still think the Chiefs are not that much worse for wear than Baltimore in terms of, say, draft compensation and trade value with those draft picks. I think all in all, I still think, you know, Baltimore didn't necessarily lose this trade. I think it makes sense for both sides for where teams are at right now. But I don't think necessarily that Baltimore, you know, is obviously going to look back on this and you know, hindsight again will always be 2020. We'll find out down the line. But I think when you look at this trade, you know, down the line right now, hypothetically speaking, I just think they really only got one premium pick out of all the ones they got in this draft. So some other things to touch on now, and we touched on it, I think, briefly earlier, but again, going a little all over the place here. The biggest question that kind of happened now for Chiefs fans after this trade broke was, what is going to happen now with Orlando Brown Jr.'s contract? He is entering 2021 in the last year of his rookie deal, so an extension is obviously going to be needed very soon. Will that happen before this year gets going? I would not rule it out. Do they franchise tag him after this year going into 2022? I think that's certainly on the table, and extending him down the line. The thing that, yeah, he's going to cost a lot of money, but I think where the Chiefs are going to be okay in that regard is the salary cap is expected to go back up. Of course, you know, nobody expected it to go down for this season, you know, pandemic, COVID, totally unforeseen, of course. But with the TV deals that the NFL has still been able to kind of work through and generate, and, you know, that they're creating currently for the future, a lot of people believe the cap will be up roughly, let's see, $65-ish million more than what it was for this season, say in just a few short years. So I think the Chiefs, obviously knowing that the cap is going to be going back up, and they've generally been pretty smart in the Brett Veach era as far as him being the general manager, of how they've handled contracts and how they've structured them. I think they've been a lot more smart with how they've handled their money year in and year out, focusing on each season, you know, in a minuscule way, but also still looking at the big picture at the same time, if that makes sense. So I honestly think Orlando Brown Jr., and knowing what they gave up for him to a team that, you know, has been a challenger for them recently in the AFC in Baltimore, this definitely, I don't think, was meant to be a one-and-done attempt with Orlando Brown Jr., especially when you put his age, right, into consideration. 24 years old, you know, 3 years in the league. He made 10 starts as a rookie in 2018, started every game the last couple of years, had no sacks allowed. I believe it was, I want to say, this past season, out of the ones I was reading. I know it was one of the last two seasons. I can't totally remember that right now currently. Off the top of my head, I'd have to look again, and certainly I'll probably put that in the article for this trade that will drop here on Saturday later on. But yeah, I honestly think this is not going to be a one and done rental. You would think, I mean, if they cannot get a deal done this year and you franchise tag them, of course, there's always the chance that players can become disgruntled with that. But I think you got to think what, you know, Orlando Brown Jr. has put out there, what he said, his want for playing left tackle and kind of contributing that to, you know, wanting to make his father happy, you know, the late great Orlando Zeus Brown, and you know, kind of putting that legacy right into perspective for him and what he thought of his father and how he wants to make him proud. I just think he's going to also have a you know, clear understanding and motivation that I think Kansas City is going to be, you know, a perfect spot for him, not only to get what he wants, but at the same time to just be in an environment where, you know, he can go out and just worry about doing his job the best of his ability, and a lot of other things are going to take care of itself. And I think one of those things is, you know, you look at how maybe as a pass blocker with vertical sets and quick sets, you know, how he could fit better, I think, as a pass blocker in Kansas City than, say, Baltimore, is because of how Patrick Mahomes maneuvers in the pocket. Patrick Mahomes, I think, handles the pocket generally a lot better than people think. They're used to him rolling out, running, and throwing on the run. But we've seen him just gradually the last couple of years, his comfort in stepping up in the pocket and sliding, you know, one or two steps left or right when the time comes, he's become way more comfortable with that. And I think quicker sets, not having to worry about range and depth of motion for Brown Jr. like maybe he had to worry about with Baltimore, I think that's going to help. So I think that's going to be a motivating factor, but I think he's also going to, you know, you would think feel very, very comfortable in an offense that Kansas City runs. So those are kind of the thoughts that I have on the Orlando Brown Jr. trade. If I missed any here in this podcast episode, go check out the article that we'll be dropping about this trade as well. So emergency podcast episode here. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Obviously, Chiefs fans, I think you have to feel ecstatic about this trade, not only to get a left tackle when you did not necessarily truly have one entering the draft, but a guy that is young, dominant, hopefully for the Chiefs will be in Kansas City for the long haul. And again, you get to poach him from a team that has become a top challenger in the AFC. Again, a lot of draft pick compensation going the Ravens' way. But again, the trade value chart, I think when you're only getting or only giving up a mid to second round pick essentially for an offensive tackle of Orlando Brown Jr.'s caliber, you do that every time. So, of course, you guys can follow us on Twitter at @FPC_Chiefs. Follow myself at @BradenHolacek9. And, of course, stay tuned for the latest articles at Full Press Coverage Chiefs. You can go check out our latest draft profiles from this week. Now that this trade has happened, I'm actually not sure which player I will be writing about next. I was going to do Stone Forsythe, the offensive tackle from Florida, but I think after this trade, that one is going to probably be scratched off of the table. So stay tuned for the latest draft profiles. Obviously, go check out the article about the Orlando Brown Jr. trade. And in case, you know, there's any information there that I forgot to mention with all my thoughts and all the things that I'm saying, kind of running and going all over the place here. But yeah, and also stay tuned for daily video content, of course, with Full Press Coverage as well during the weekdays, FPC Radio Live in the mornings with Ian Glendon and Mike DeBate, plus afternoon, 5 Eastern, 4 Central, Dylan and Ross Safe Sports. You guys can go search Full Press Coverage on YouTube or Facebook, and you guys can watch those live at those times during the weekdays, either in the morning or afternoon, respectively. Of course, the main Full Press Coverage accounts that you guys should follow as well as we enter the NFL Draft Week, at Full Press NFL, all spelled out, and also at FP Coverage. I know we are going to be doing a mock draft live stream, myself, Ian Glendon, and a few of our other great FPC editors on Monday. So it's going to be a fun mock draft. And in case you cannot check out the live stream live with us on Monday, we will still publish that article later on before the draft gets going on Thursday. So can't wait to see how that goes. Going to be a lot of fun, of course. And everybody's favorite time of the year. If you are a draft fan, I mean, it's been a wild off season so far, but I think it's going to be, you know, crazy this year, a draft like maybe we've never seen before in terms of, you know, how teams handle this draft. You know, coming off a COVID-affected college season, opt-outs, everything that, these teams have had to worry about with medical information. So stay tuned there. Of course, again, go check out the Orlando Brown Jr. article for this trade as well. That'll be dropping same day as this in the morning on Saturday as I'm recording late Friday night. So stay tuned for the latest Full Press Chiefs. We will have more draft coverage early next week. And with that, enjoy your weekend, and we will see you guys next time.